Hey, we have a special thing for our listeners at the end of this episode, so stick around. Okay, let's jump into it.
I'm working so much and I'm trying to make videos. I couldn't think. At one point, I was in my room and my roommate comes like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm just working." He's like, "No, you're screaming." I was like, "What? What do you mean I'm screaming?" I was screaming at my monitor. I was screaming, "You can do it. Go do it. Do it. Do it."
That seems kind of scary.
It is. It is, because I didn't realize it. I can't keep the school thing up and do YouTube. It has to be one or the other, and I don't want to give up YouTube, especially when the traction is up and up. Because in that semester, I hit 100K.
From Jump Cut, it's An Unconventional Life, a show about people that have escaped the 9-to-5. I'm Samuel Donner, and on the show today, how MJ took a gap year from a prestigious business school and made a career on YouTube watching basketball. I just graduated from UCLA a few months ago, and during my 4 years there, I questioned the validity of what I was learning every day. I was constantly looking to side projects to satiate my creative drive. My next guest, MJ, corroborated a lot of my gripes concerning university, but with one interesting caveat. Unlike me, MJ recognizes the value in his degree, and for good reason. Currently, he's attending NYU Stern, one of the most prestigious business universities in the world. A degree from Stern all but guarantees a six-figure job upon graduation. Most would argue that's close to the definition of conventional success. But at the same time, MJ has found success unconventionally through an NBA YouTube channel that is making him over $200,000 a year. He stands in a very unique spot. Each foot is firmly planted in the conventional and unconventional models of success. He is at a crossroads and isn't really sure what to do. To understand MJ's conventional side, we have to go back to his scholastic roots. He attended a prestigious biomedical high school where a vast majority of kids were beelining for medical degrees. This school was for the elite of the elites.
Out of the 3,000, 4,000 students that apply, about 60-something get in.
Why did you want to do that?
Knowledge. I could have went to a public high school. Actually, on the day of me deciding, right, I was trying to figure out whether I want to go to public high school or biomedical academy. I went to both orientations, which I'm not allowed to do, but they gave me an exception. So I did that. And the reason I picked the biomedical academy was because I just wanted to learn more about the body. Because I've had a weird medical history of just unexplained illnesses. Let's just keep at that. Unexplained illnesses. So I just want to learn more about the body.
And so that kind of like motivated you. Like, I want to find out more about myself and like what kind of makes my body tick so I can help myself and other people.
Yeah. So my goal was to do that. Exactly what you just said. Help other people and then also learn more about myself and then maybe figure out what these doctors can't figure out. Maybe I could figure that out.
MJ loved what he was learning at the Biomedical Academy. But he also needed to juxtapose the stringency and intensity of his medical classes with a creative outlet. That creative outlet began to emerge when MJ was making a video for a group project. During this time, he began to experiment with an editing software that many people are familiar with.
Windows Movie Maker. Like, you know the...
What a classic,
you know,
dude.
The one where you, like, you try to insert something, you can't because you have to redo the whole thing because it only inserts at the end and you can't drag it to the middle. That's what I was working on in like freshman year and sophomore. Then I got like an iMac and then I moved to iMovie. Free, a free software, but way better. We did a PSA in both English and Spanish on why you shouldn't drive drunk, which no one should drive drunk. So we literally had a toy car because all of us couldn't drive. And we had like Need for Speed video gameplay going on. It was fun. Like we had a crashing sound effect and all that. And I edited all of that. So I kind of found joy in doing that.
Yeah, making videos for a school project was fun, but at that point, MJ didn't think much more about it. There were bigger things to worry about. High school was coming to an end, and MJ was faced with his future. End of senior year. Yeah. So that's the point when you're kind of looking into colleges, yeah?
No, that's when I know I'm going to college, right? Yeah. So beginning of senior year is when you do the applications, right? Mm. So I had a choice. By May of senior year, I figured out, okay, I got into UC Berkeley, NYU Stern, and Johns Hopkins. All three of those, UCLA, Berkeley, and Hopkins, are for medicine. NYU Stern is for business. And I thought, you know, I want to learn neuroscience. I want to do something good for society, right? And then I thought, wait, I have to go to med school. Someone else might be cool about culturing cells and analyzing that. I'm like, I need human interaction. Nada. Like, I couldn't imagine myself doing 8 more years of studying. So I picked NYU Stern. Business wasn't my passion. It wasn't, yes, I want to do it, but it was the best choice at the time. And Stern was a really good school, but I don't like the city. And NYU is in the city. I don't like competition driving things, and Stern is one of the most competitive. It has like a curve where only 35% of people can get A's. Like, so everyone just cheats, or everyone tries to lie to people there. It's cutthroat.
Yeah.
So I knew I would hate that. And then on top of that, I was just like, I don't really want to study business. Like, I think I could learn more by myself.
We've delved a bit into MJ's scholastic background, but to fully understand his creative endeavors, we have to go back to before MJ was thinking about college, back before he had learned how to edit, way back to when MJ was 13 and he stumbled across his first YouTube inspiration, a creator known as Chris Smoove.
So Chris Smoove is an OG YouTuber. I don't know when he started, maybe in 2007. He's been in the
game. Back in the day.
Yeah, now, I think now he has over 4.5 million subscribers, so he's done pretty well for himself. He started doing gameplays of 2K and Call of Duty. And those gameplays were the first kind of on the platform. He would just commentate over it, and he had this unique, funny style. And when I was 13, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. You know, this guy's playing 2K on YouTube, and he's just good. I saw that, and I was like, that looks like fun. I didn't think about all the business aspects, the money, the fame, or anything. I just thought, that looks fun. So I actually recorded a video. I never edited it. I don't even know where it is, but it was just with the iPhone headphones. That was my mic. I have the gameplay of me just playing 2K and like a high-pitched me, 13-year-old, just going, ah, yeah, yeah. I always had the like vision of maybe doing it, but I never really got into it until end of senior year. I was like, okay, I like video editing. I like 2K. Why not just make videos? And that's how it started.
MJ finally got the chance to try out YouTube, something that he had been admiring from a distance since he was 13 years old. With some editing skills he had learned from making a video for some biology project and a lot of enthusiasm, MJ ventured off into the unknown and made his first video. And so what was that first video like?
Absolute trash. Like, I think I did a pack opening with a bunch of friends. Basically, you spend virtual currency in a game and you open packs. And when you open packs, you get certain players that you can add to your team. So I did a pack opening with like 10 of my friends. Super cheesy. We only pulled one good player. It was bad. Like, there was Echo. It was...
Who was that going out to?
No one. It was just... It was literally just...
into the void.
It was instantly... It was just like, oh, cool. Like, my boys, now I just filmed a pack opening. Like, okay, let's just edit that. Like, we had fun doing it. I just edited that video and put it up. And I didn't really expect to get anything, right? Because I'm just a nobody, right? So I think I tell my friends, like, yo, I just released a video, guys. You know, check it out. That was it. And I think it ended up getting 200-300 views, which...
That's still pretty good.
I mean, honestly, thinking back, I was pretty hyped for like the first like 10. First 10 views, I was like, 10 people want to see that?
MJ was pretty hyped. He's gone beyond his friend group, beyond his social circles, beyond his school. Now his videos were reaching random people. And these people were actually watching him. So MJ kept going and iterating on his content. And soon he found something that worked.
So I do like another few. Then out of nowhere, this basketball player, Jimmy Butler, he was on the Bulls. He gets traded to the Timberwolves. And I saw that and I was like, I feel pretty strongly about this. So why not just record a video? It's really nice being a small channel with no direction because you can just kind of go wherever you want.
You can just try out
like,
new things.
I could have just played Minecraft at that point and it wouldn't have mattered because it was just no one was really watching. So I released that video and that video ends up getting like 10,000 views.
10,000 views.
Yeah. And at that time I'm like, whoa. I'm like looking at the comments like every second, like refreshing. That's crazy, right? Like 10,000 people watch my video. And that is what kickstarted me into this NBA YouTube space where now I just started talking about players.
To break down this process really quick, On YouTube, every video has a percentage chance of going viral. Some have higher percentages than others. When you are in the early stages of your channel, you have to try new things and see what garners the most attention within your niche. MJ is in the NBA niche, and he started with gameplay videos, and those were getting a couple hundred views, which is pretty good for a new channel. But then he tried another format, one that was more storytelling and less Let's Play. That change in format was massively successful. So MJ made another video in the same format.
I released another video, and this is on some Chinese NBA rookie who has a 7'8 wingspan. Think about that, 7'8. He could just tiptoe and dunk. So I'm like, that's insane. So I released a video on that, and that video ends up initially getting about 50,000 views. And I'm like, whoa, like now it's like, this is getting a little real, right? Like 50,000? That's a lot.
That's some serious stuff.
Yeah, and then now it's like 1 week before college, right? And I release the worst player in NBA history. Usually I release a video on Friday and then we go work out. So I release a video on Friday, went to the gym. I don't check YouTube at this time because I don't want to think about it. We do the workout. I come back, we're in the car, we're just chilling. I check my like YouTube. I've gained 300 subs in like an hour and a half. And I'm like, what is going on? So I check the views and that video has like 20 or 30,000 views in like an hour and a half. And I'm like, whoa. And I remember, keep in mind, I only have like 2,000 subs, right? So that shouldn't be happening. Like any case, that video ends up getting 1 million views in like a week. In that week, this is when I'm moving into college. So when I move,
so like everything is happening.
It's like
at this
weird.
Point.
It's all weird. Like now all this traction is coming. I move in and just hit 5,000 subs. So I just gained like 3,000 subs in a matter of a few days. By the end of the video's like traction in like that 1 week, I'm at 10,000 subs now, and I'm like, what?
How is this like happening
it's
so
been two,
quickly?
It's literally been 2 months at this point, and I'm at 10,000 subs. And then it hit me like, okay, I have an actual audience, right? Like 10,000 people is no joke. 10,000 people, like, if you saw them on the street, if you saw them in the stadium, you'd be like, hi. Like, you'd be like,
hello, how
hi,
you doing?
How you doing? Like, I'm MJ. Like, you'd be like tripping out.
MJ has just experienced this incredible rise. He's gained thousands of subscribers and hundreds of thousands of views. But all this growth was coming at a pretty tumultuous time.
But then college started. I'm at NYU, so I'm living in a dorm in the city. So now I'm getting used to New York City. I'm getting used to the classes, walking to classes, because we don't have like a campus. We have streets.
Yeah.
So we're taking subways to classes. We're going all over. And I'm also releasing videos at the same time. Now I'm releasing like 2 a week.
How are you balancing all that with like starting school all of a sudden?
Not sleeping. Like that habit hasn't changed to this day. I still don't sleep. I remember my friend, he was like, how do you do it? He's like, you're going to crash. And I'm like, No, what do you mean I'm going to crash? Like, that's not going to happen. So I keep doing that for a whole semester. And I'm like, this is tiring. But now I'm getting a few thousand per video. So sometimes I'll get 7,000, 5,000. And sometimes I'll get 20, 30, 40, even 100,000. Like, I was like fluctuating. And as a small channel, you do. But there were videos where I was getting six figures. It's been like 4 months max. I'm looking at it. I'm like, this could really be something. Because at this point, now I have monetized. And I made a few $100 in September. And now I'm like, whoa, I am actually making tangible money from making videos that I like doing. And that was a big realization to realizing that YouTube could actually be something, that YouTube could be more than just a hobby. But a few $100 a month is not enough to sustain.
Yeah. That's not like a salary that you can live off of, especially in New York.
Oh my God. Don't get me started on the, like my Taco Bell order in New Jersey is $12. My Taco Bell order in New York is $24.
Dang.
It's the same exact item.
That's how you tell how expensive a city is. Taco Bell units. MJ was making money doing what he loved on YouTube, but it still wasn't quite enough to support living in New York City. So while taking classes at NYU and posting two videos every week, MJ suddenly got an opportunity.
I'm going through my email and then I see something. I'm like, that's fake. I look at it like a second time and this says something about YouTube. Why? And so I click on it and it's NBA has like a network. It's called NBA Playmakers. And that network is for YouTubers like me who use clips who talk about the NBA, talk about players. And there were perks with it too. Like you get a management team, you get some free tickets, you get some merch, all that. I'm losing my mind right now. I call my mom. I'm like, yo, the NBA just emailed me. Whoa. I've been signed with the NBA.
Back to the podcast after the break. A lot of you probably hate that sound. It's the sound of having to roll out of bed and face another boring day. It's the sound of the job that makes you miserable, a boss that you hate, and a dead-end life. But you shouldn't hate that sound. And I'm going to tell you why future you won't. I want you to know that you can turn any passion, hobby, or interest into a profitable YouTube channel. Take one of our students, Imaginary Ambition. He used to work at a local coffee shop. Then he took his passion for music production and created a YouTube channel where he makes music tutorials without even showing his face. His channel now has over 8 million views, and he makes a living doing what he loves. He was just an average guy with an ordinary 9-to-5 job, and he was no different than you. The only difference is he decided to take the first step and begin. I know that may sound hard, and I get it. It's scary to start something new. What if you try and then fail? Then what? You don't have to do this alone, and we don't want you to. That's why Jump Cut created a step-by-step program to teach you exactly how to do it. Our course, Viral Academy, will walk you through everything you need to know to start your YouTube channel, film and post your first video, and take that first step into the life you've always dreamed of, but never had. Our instructors, Kong and Jesse, among others, know everything there is to know about building a YouTube channel into a full-time business from the ground up. And with their guidance, you too can make that dream a reality. Contrary to popular belief, videos on YouTube don't just go viral based on luck. There's a science to it, and that's what we're here to teach you. If you're someone who's tired of studying a major that you have no interest in, or if you're someone that has a dead-end 9-to-5 job, clocking in and clocking out every day, or if you're an artist struggling to make rent month after month, then you'd be crazy not to check out this program because it could change the direction of your career and your life. Go to jumpcut.com/ball to begin your journey today. Now, back to the podcast.
But, you know, everything went normal after that. Like, it's the same old. Yeah. Because usually whenever something big happens, I just keep moving forward. I don't really celebrate it. I've just been so work-driven. I got a contract, read over, had my parents read it over, had a legal team read over, signed it, done.
MJ doesn't give himself a break. When he puts his mind to something, he is totally engrossed and engulfed by the desire to succeed. But that desire is not sustainable, especially when he has an intense university course load.
I think I finished one semester and I'm tired. Like, when I come back to home, I'm just exhausted. That whole semester, I was releasing videos, I was doing schoolwork, finals, midterms. During all that, I was still doing YouTube, and I was still, at the same time, trying to keep a physical lifestyle. I like to work out. I didn't think anything about dropping out or anything, because at this point, $25,000 is really not a lot. It should never be in consideration for dropping out of college. Yeah. But I just told my mom, I'm like, yo, I could actually do something with this. I'm not saying that I'm going to. I'm not saying that I'm going to drop out or stop college or stop studying. But this could turn into something, because I know YouTubers take, it usually takes a year or two to get to where I am now. And so I just told her that, and then I went back semester, and yeah. It was just, the second semester was way worse, harder classes, less leeway from certain professors. Beginning of May is when the playoffs start, right? You know what else is around that time?
Finals.
So I am staying in Stern, and this is my setup right now. I have a projector playing the NBA playoffs game while I'm in the Stern classroom, because we can rent those out, studying for cultures and context. I had a lecture, one whole lecture for an hour and a half about walls. Not metaphysical walls, not metaphors.
Like literal walls.
Literal walls. And this is what I'm studying. And I'm watching the game also, like, making sure that I get all the details, because I have to watch a lot of game tape to break things down, right?
Yeah.
So I'm watching the game because I have to release a video. It's 1 a.m. I'm still in the Stern building. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm trying to do all this. For what, right? I think I slept a combined maybe 3 hours in that whole week.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was bad. So that's when it hits me that college is not teaching me anything. I tell my mom, this isn't working. I can't do both. This is way too much. And I'm at 50,000 now. I just hit 50,000 in May. So there's some tangible feelings now that, okay, this could be something wrong, but it definitely still is not. Let's drop out. Let's stop everything.
MJ is feeling the intense pressure from his workload at school and tells his mom that he wants to leave university and focus on his YouTube channel. But right now, he doesn't have enough traction to warrant leaving. So he finishes up his first year in Summer Hits. School is out, and he can really start putting in the work for YouTube.
You know, summer's a time in the NBA where nothing happens, right? So I just start releasing story videos about Kobe Bryant and how Kyrie Irving trash-talked Kobe, and then Kobe wrecked him. I gained 17,000 subs in 1 month, and I am freaking out. Now I'm at 70,000, and summer isn't even done. Next month, I gained another 13,000. Now I'm getting about 2.5 to 3 million views a month. I am losing it. Yeah. Like, I don't even know what to say. And all I can think in my mind is, I have to go back
to school.
I have to go back to school.
And like, all this growth that's been happening is probably not going to be as fast if you have to, you know, partition your time.
I thought more it's just going to be hell again, because I don't think I'm not going to be able to do it. It's just more I'm going to sacrifice my health to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I wouldn't slow down on YouTube, but I would just be adding more. And which, if I'm adding more, that means there's not more time to sleep, there's not enough time to rest. Creators get a lot of burnout too. We get tired of sometimes thinking of all the content, because YouTube is a nonstop job. There's no 9 to 5. We look at our phones, we look at the numbers constantly. Now I'm going back and I've hit 81,000 subs.
Yeah.
82, 83. I'm getting brand deals now, like SeatGeek. Life is good in the summer.
But summer had to end, and MJ had to go back to school. And going back was a nightmare.
I'm working so much, and I'm trying to make videos. I couldn't think. At one point, I was in my room, and my roommate comes like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm just working." He's like, "No, you're screaming." I was like, "What? What do you mean I'm screaming?" I was screaming at my monitor. I was screaming, "You can do it. Go do it. Do it. Do it."
That seems kind of scary.
It is. It is, because I didn't realize it. I can't keep the school thing up and do YouTube. It has to be one or the other. And I don't want to give up YouTube, especially when the traction is up and up. Because in that semester, I hit 100K.
School and a growing YouTube channel is just too much for one person to handle. So MJ talked to his parents about alternatives.
Everything is going really well, except all the work. After I realized I was screaming, I told my mom, I didn't tell her that I was doing that, but she probably freaked out. But I told her that we need to look into gap year. We need to look into at least taking time off, letting me focus on this, let me making this into a business, because people are making millions of dollars doing this. It's not something that I'm just BSing. It's not like, you can see the money coming in. I'm making a couple thousand now a month, because now I'm doing about 3 million views a month. And 3 million views at CPM, about $2 per 1,000 views, that's about $6,000 per month. It's not, oh, it's a few hundred dollars, I can barely live off that. Now it's $6,000?
That's a good living.
That's not bad. That's not bad for especially just starting out. The main thing was convincing my dad, because my dad had a point. I'll never forget this. He said this to me. "You're going to be successful. You're probably going to make this a 6 or 7 figure business. I don't have a doubt on that, but that's the biggest issue, because even if you do that, I want you to go back. I don't want you to say that, yeah, I made it, now I'm not going to go back." After a lot of arguing, we agreed. I take a gap year starting 2019 January for this whole year, and I go back to school 2020.
MJ was presented with an opportunity to pursue his YouTube career full force, and he wasn't about to waste this opportunity.
Now I have a full gap year. It is me unleashed. But I still sleep 4 or 5 hours a day, but I'm waking up, not worrying about college, seeing my roommate go to college, and I'm like, like, have fun. So now I'm working pretty much full time. In January, I build the office, and the office in basically is my bedroom, but sound treated. So all these acoustic panels, different posters, different aesthetics, so that the sound quality is better in my room. Then March of 2019, I experiment with a different style of just being funny, you know, like I always think of jokes whenever I made videos, but I was trying to get the information out. But I just thought, you know what, I like gamers who sound effects, I like memes, why not just incorporate those into the information aspect of the videos? Maybe even ask people to subscribe in a funny way. Like for example, I found out that more than 80% of people that watch my videos aren't subscribed. And I was like, whoa, I'm at 100 something thousand and 80% of people who are watching my videos aren't subscribed? It's a huge audience I'm missing out on. So I make a joke in one of my videos. I say, to the 87% of people who are not subscribed, I'm just trying to get a subscribe number of 13% higher than Lonzo Ball's free throw percentage. It's only 26%, so it's not really that hard to do. I make that joke, and then I do the, if this is the mic, I'll go away from it, and I'll be like, please subscribe! It worked. So the same 3 million views that I was getting 6,000 subs in, that month, I gained 25,000 subs.
25,000?
I went straight from 150 to 175. This is in my gap year, so I'm doing it now. I think I have 5 million views that month. Revenue, all-time highs, because I started making longer videos, 10-plus minute views, by accident. I made a video on why is Kawhi Leonard a sociopath. That was a 12-minute video, and I don't even put a single mid-roll ad in because I felt sleazy. I felt, oh, that's tainted. Like, yeah. No. And then my friend, one of my YouTuber friends, he was like, no, you have to do it. You have to put one. So I put one in 2 weeks after video. I thought, you know, my subs all watched it. Let's just put it in there. It gets like double the amount of revenue. So I thought, one, people are liking longer content. Two, I can make more revenue and people don't mind the ad, especially if you don't go excessive. So I make, in that month, 4 times the revenue that I normally make.
MJ was approaching YouTube like a business, and it was paying off. While he was increasing his subscribers and views, he was also increasing his revenue. It seemed like nothing could stop MJ from growing. That was until all that work came to a grinding halt.
The beginning of March, I had a fever. I got sick. It was like 104 degree fever. I went back home. My mom took care of me. You know, I'm feeling at 80% after a week. Yeah. So I go back to the city, back to the apartment, you know, the crib. And and pretty much, I'm working. This whole month is happening. It's awesome. And then I'm not feeling too hot. Like, you know, like Spider-Man, like I'm not feeling too good.
Yeah.
Like, that was me. Like, I'm
Mr. Stark.
I'm not feeling too good. I started throwing up. It starts happening like every day. And I don't know what it is. We think it's a stomach virus until I come back home. We just think it's a stomach virus. Doctor thinks it's a stomach virus until we find out that my eyes are yellow. And that's not normal for a stomach virus. I don't know if you've had the stomach virus, but I don't think anyone's eyes have been yellow. We go to the hospital. Turns out I have hepatitis. All my enzymes are messed up, but they can't figure out a cause. And to this day, I still don't know what caused it. I slowly recover, but for the month of April, I don't post a video. So I went from 25,000 subs in that month. April, I get 6,000 subs, which is not bad. But I don't post a video and I got 6,000 subs. So I'm like, that's not bad, but that's not great. But I'm also feeling really hurt that I just had the best month of my YouTube career. All of a sudden, that momentum,
it dies.
It dies down because you just had 5 million views in a month. And then last month, I only had 2 million views because I didn't post a video. Again, I'm missing playoffs time because this is April. This is the biggest
time of
for an NBA YouTuber. That is where every single person, if you don't even watch basketball, they're watching basketball, right? Everyone is interested. So I am frustrated. I'm trying to work. I tried to work so hard during April and I just couldn't. I couldn't sit in like a chair. So I try to stand up and work and then I would like feel like throwing up. It was bad. Normally a video, if I really put all my time, 2 to 3 days.
Yeah.
This video takes me like 3 weeks. I released this video. It's on Westbrook and Lillard, their rivalry. I started working on it 3 weeks ago. That series was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
There's no relevancy to it. I released the video and I don't look at the analytics because I just know it's not going to do as well. I know the game and it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't in the beginning. That was upsetting to me, especially after seeing what March was. But that video blew up. It's at over 500,000 views now. I don't know if I lucked out or whether that video was just a good content. From there, I know I kept releasing videos, and in the month of May, I only released 5. I'm usually releasing about 2 a week. I gained about 19,000 subs. It's my second highest month.
Yeah, so you're still back at it.
Still back at it. So we're back.
We're back, baby.
We're back. That was a blessing to me because that kind of affirmed that I can go away for a while.
And still come back and I'll be okay.
I have a loyal fan base who I'm really grateful for. They wanted to see my videos.
Coming down with hepatitis brought with it an unusual, important learning lesson. It taught MJ that he could take a break. He was so worried about growth slowing to a stop, even if he missed just one video. But this forced experiment showed that he could take a step back. This knowledge is so valuable because I think it lends to MJ's longevity on YouTube. Creator burnout might not be as pressing if MJ knows that he can take a break if he needs it. But as MJ gets back on track, there is a new challenge awaiting him in the distance. University.
I have to go back next year.
How are you going to go back?
I don't know. Now I'm at 230,000 subs.
Yeah, and you've probably been making like a good amount of money.
So now, okay, so now I'll get to, that's why I wanted to explain like the revenue, because in the month of March, it was over 20 grand. And now, because that's all-time high. And now I think it's like about 15, 16.
That's like a $200,000 a
salary
year.
Type. Yeah.
Yeah, that's more than
what,
like
it's top,
top
it's
CEOs
a, it's
make.
A top 1%. Like even though you don't think about it like that, but it's top 1%.
Yeah. And so you've made it, dude. Like you're there. You're there.
I hope. I mean, obviously I'm undertaking more projects.
Yeah, but like how are you gonna go back to school, dude?
I don't know. Kong and I were talking about it and he was like, that's BS, man. Like, don't go back. But I made a promise to my dad, right? So it's hard.
Because you have 2 more years and like, because I just graduated.
Yeah.
I just graduated from UCLA.
Yeah.
Dude, like junior year.
It's a tough
is
year.
Tough,
I know,
dude.
Man.
It's tough.
And I'm like, ah, it sucks because you don't want to slow down growth. And no matter what, you just can't fully put your time into doing this.
And like you said, now it's just going to be sacrificing sleep and working out.
Mental health, physical health.
And as much as you might not want to like admit it, sacrificing mental health is going to sacrifice quality of your videos.
It probably will down the line. It's just, I know YouTubers, there's a huge stigma about mental health and all that. And don't get me wrong, YouTubers have a good life as long as if they're doing it full time and they're happy with it, they have a good life. Like, don't get me wrong. But when you're juggling a lot of things and you just don't know when to stop doing
YouTube. Especially
YouTube,
something like going back to school that just seems not necessary.
It doesn't, because I tell my parents all the time, I'm learning way more doing this. I'm running my own business. I'm negotiating brand deals. I am negotiating with companies. I am managing my finances. I am doing my own taxes. I know what to invest in. I invested my money in certain places. I'm doing all that. School hasn't taught me jack. Like, it hasn't taught me how to market. It hasn't taught me how to do SEO. It hasn't taught me how to run the finances of a business. It hasn't taught me how to... the art of the deal. It has done none of that for me. And those are real life skills. I get their side of the equation where the degree is more certainty. NYU Stern, right? The reason why it's that big of a deal, it's a top 5 business school in the nation.
Yeah.
And the average salary coming out of it is 80K. The first job, meaning you almost always as a Stern graduate make 6 figures. That is hard to pass up on if that's the degree what you're holding, right? That degree is valuable. Literally, students just get a degree and they're out. That's my plan, to just kind of go through the motions and not really focus too much on college. If
so
I go back,
just like skate by,
just like, ooh, I just passed by a point. You know, I'll be okay with that. I talked to my teachers about the gap year and they told me, yeah, you should do it. They're the ones who told me I should be taking this gap year, see where this goes, because that's a legitimate business that you might not get a chance to do again. At the end of the day, we don't know where YouTube will go. It could go up, it could go down, it could stay the same. We just don't know. And the degree, on the other hand, it still retains that value 4 or 5 years. So I understand where they're coming from. I just wish I didn't have to go back.
MJ's future is complicated. His time will be constrained by school, and in a competitive field like YouTube, it'll be hard to keep up. This complication puts his growth at risk. But I think that MJ's future is still bright.
I'm focusing more on the building the business aspect, because I love making videos, don't get me wrong. The guys make jokes that I love to work, and it's very true. I really do. I will get excited if we're working rather than partying. I want to grow a business where I can kind of promote the message of working hard all day. That's like my brand, MJ2K all day. That's my goal for the next months. Try to grow that business, try to grow that brand. What does that entail? I'm figuring it out. But that is my plan for these next 5 months. Grow as much as on YouTube as possible, but focused on the brand building aspect of it. And then by the time I am in college, if I at least get the foundation set up,
then you can just like run maintenance on it.
Run it, and hopefully it still will be very tough, don't get me wrong, but that's better than having to start something new. Yeah, I literally on this trip, I released 2 videos. Even though I'm on this trip, I had my portable mic.
Yeah.
I recorded in the closet. We put a blanket up. Yeah. I record in a closet. It's like on my phone script is right there.
Grind never stops all day.
Yeah, it never stops. That's one thing about YouTubers that you'll learn from this podcast is that there is no fine line. We don't know when to stop. It could be that we don't start until maybe 5 p.m., but we might not stop until 5 a.m. Like there's no
set time. There's no 9 to 5.
There's no set times, yeah.
With that, I asked MJ if he had any advice for you guys, the people listening to this podcast. What advice would you give someone who is in a 9 to 5 or maybe in school,
yeah,
and they have an idea of something they're passionate, yeah, about, and they're not sure whether they want to commit to it or pursue it? What advice would you give that person?
See how everyone else is doing it too, right? Because your idea might be the best idea, but you're just missing that one component. So look at what other people are doing and just do it. I wish someone had told me when I was 13 that just released that video. Because who knows, if I started at 13, where would I be now? Who knows? And you're never gonna like the first piece of content you put out. I'm telling you, you will never like it. You will look at it a year later and you're gonna be like, that was trash, man. What is that? What is that? Like, you will roast yourself. Don't worry about that. Just get the content out. Just put it out there and just make sure you like what you're doing to the point that even if you're getting that 0 views, that 5 views, 10, 100, whatever views you're getting, you're satisfied with it. But get it out. That's the main thing. Just get it out there.
MJ stands on a line that separates the conventional from the unconventional path. There's definitely success that will lead down the road of both, but I think that eventually MJ will have to choose. He definitely will have to prioritize one, and it seems like his plan is to prioritize YouTube. Once MJ can focus on that one thing, I'm sure his work ethic will carry him to the top. Talking to MJ about work is kind of infectious, but simultaneously, you have to be careful. With an increase in work, you have to cut other crucial parts of your life, namely sleep. Cutting sleep is one of the most detrimental things you can do to your overall performance, and is ultimately unsustainable. That being said, I learned a lot from MJ. I learned about working hard, about sustainability, about checking in with yourself, and about trying to fulfill your parents' wishes and your own dreams. I'm excited for MJ, and I think he will find his way. I just hope he gets some more sleep on this next leg of his journey. Last episode, I asked the question, what does your ideal life look like? This episode, I have another question for you. But first, I want to highlight 3 of my favorite answers from last episode. Aaron Madhaven emailed us and said he'd love to play video games and get paid to share his love and passion for gaming. Johnny, with the channel JMB Pro, has been uploading comedy cartoon series, and his ideal life is to make a career out of creating animated sketches. Apollo Fernandez talked about being a tech enthusiast and wanted to travel the world for technology events and help other people learn about technology through his videos. Finally, Beverly from Cornbread Millionaire had a lot to say about the podcast and her plans for the future. Here's Bev.
I loved your podcast with the icing artist. I listened to it several times and took great notes. I've already applied the lessons to my videos. I have several already in the works. My goal is to create viral videos for my Facebook fan page, Cornbread Millionaire.
Thank you so much to all the listeners for supporting the podcast. Now I have another question/challenge for you. One of the keys to accomplishing your goals is accountability. So get a friend or family member and together leave a voicemail about a goal you have this month. It can be anything big or small, from making a video to eating healthy to spending time with friends. Call me at 310-853-2538 and leave a message so you can be featured in the next episode of the podcast. Also, make sure to have that friend or family member subscribe and follow us. Again, that's 310-853-2538. Talk to you guys soon.